Well, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 24. And today we're going to look at the first five verses of Proverbs 24. And such a great subject, how to build our homes, how to build our homes. The nuggets and gems from the book of Proverbs about how to do that. And also, this will give us great insight to why we are so thankful on Thanksgiving Day. And hopefully and prayerfully every day of the year, as God has shown us in His Word how to build a house, how to build a city, how to build a country. And our country was founded upon the Word of God. Did you know that Harvard University and Princeton University and all the universities of the East, the first textbook was the Bible? Did you know our legal system is based on scriptures from Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and Numbers? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And actually, that verse was used in setting up the witness laws in our courtrooms today. Amazing. Amazing grace. And we have become a great nation because of the grace and the beauty and the power of God. And we're so thankful, aren't we? Yes, we are. Well, let's go ahead and read now verse 1 of chapter 24, Proverbs, and begin reading there. It says, "Now be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studies destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." We can decide in our hearts to be mischievous, to go the mischievous way. We can decide to walk with evil men and be envious of them in their evil deeds with all the money they make from time to time. But the Lord is asking us not to do that. And then He proceeds in verses 3 and 4 to actually tell us how to build great homes. Now it says, "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established." Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:10 that the Lord wants to establish, strengthen, and settle you. Establish and strengthen and settle you. And that's done through understanding. And then in verse 4 it says, "And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled," the chambers of your home and your place, your city, your country, "be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." And of course we are and have been in the past especially the richest nation in the world. And of course we've been struggling with that lately. And it's because we have followed the ways of the world instead of the ways of the Lord as a nation. And that will lead us to being the tail and not the head, to being the borrower and not the lender. Because the Lord says if a nation follows His ways, they will be the head and not the tail, and be the lender and not the borrower. And so we see through the signs of what's happening that we need to re-correct our course as a nation. But God has blessed this nation and we are thankful, aren't we? Thankful. Now, let's talk about this first word, wisdom. Through wisdom is a house built. Now, wisdom, according to Noah Webster's first edition of Webster's Dictionary in the 1800s, is number one, that which comes from God. That's the definition of wisdom in Noah Webster's first edition of his dictionary. Now, he's dead now, and the secular people have taken over the reproductions of Webster's dictionary, and they've taken that definition out in a desire to secularize, as most of the nation has gone secular in their approaches, business approaches, and so forth, which is very sad to see, because Noah Webster had it right. Wisdom is that which comes from God. We're actually told in the New Testament that all the riches of wisdom is actually in Jesus Christ. Yes, that's where wisdom is. Now, with that, let's turn to Psalm 127. Just keep your hand in Proverbs 24 and go back to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And this is confirmed beautifully here in this psalm. Psalm 127. Very short psalm. It says this: except the Lord build the house, except the Lord build the nation, except the Lord build the city, they that labor, labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walks but in vain. In the old days, they had watchmen that would have different assignments to stand on the wall of the city and watch for coming enemies. And so those that are standing on the wall watching for coming enemies are really doing that in vain, if the Lord's not watching the city, if the Lord's not building the house, if the Lord is not taking care of all things. We can have all the H-bombs you want and all the F-16s that you can get, but unless the Lord is watching the house, they are laboring in vain. I'm so thankful to God, so thankful that after 9/11, so many years ago now, maybe 11 years ago, 12 years ago, 11 years ago, that our church started prayer meetings, and we've been praying at those prayer meetings. God, keep us from not having another terrorist attack. Guard us, Lord. Watch our nation. And, you know, I forgot to share this in the other two services. I remember now, one morning when I was sharing that, at another time, there was a brother in the Lord here from Washington, D.C., that is part of Homeland Security working in Washington, D.C. And he came running up to me after the service, and he said, thank you for doing that, and I want to share with you, God is answering your prayers. Because there's been hundreds of times when we were really close to other terrorist attacks, but all of a sudden, they were just found out. There were different things that happened, and I believe it's the Lord. And that's what that brother told me, working for the federal government. And it was really a blessing to get that feedback about our prayer requests. We continue to pray, don't we? Yes, we do. Please do it. Pray. Pray in the name of Jesus, that God would watch over us and that God would make us better. God would help us to really begin to deserve or move towards deserving in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can deserve anything. Towards being a nation that is founded and grounded in God, like we were with that first textbook, the Scriptures, the Bible. Well, now it says in verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Now, in the context of this scripture, the Lord wants to minister to you and I that, as Jesus said, when we see the wars and rumors of wars, see that these things don't trouble you. It's really vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows in worry and fret over what's becoming of the world. What's to become of the world? We know the answer to that. The Lord Jesus is going to return, set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule and reign on the earth, and there will finally be total wonderful peace in Jerusalem. That's going to happen. That's why he says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He is ready to come when he's ready to come. And it really seems from the signs he's given us in the Old Testament, he's really close to being ready to come. It's very, very close now. Now, this also applies to your children and to your family living, the building of your personal house, because it goes on to talk about children. It says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's actually a reward to your family and to you personally when you are going to have a baby. A great reward from God. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Now, I'd heard years ago, and I've heard different numbers since, that there's 13 arrows in a quiver. So you guys better get busy. Joke. Anyway, there was a time when, with our four little boys, they were all born within 5 years, and so Sherry was quite busy for a few years there. Having toddlers at home is quite a job. I often wonder how you that homeschool do it. I was so happy when the last one started kindergarten and Sherry and I could actually go out to lunch for the first time. But the thing is this, with Sherry, she had began to kind of be a little depressed, a little sorry for herself that we had such a large family, because all the busyness in the early years, you know, she was just going through a little trial with it. And then we moved next door to a Catholic family that had 18 children. 18. Yeah. The guy would take his vacation every year to have the next baby. Oh, man. And so we were standing on the grass with our four little boys one afternoon thinking, isn't it precious that we have such a small family? It's all relative, right? And they are relatives. And so there you are. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They are not. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now the city gate is where the elders of a city would hold their council. As you picture a gate in your mind, you picture a little clippy up there and you open the gate. It's not the way gates are in the cities in the old country. You actually walk into a room. It can be as big as your living room. You walk through the city gate by coming in one side and going out the other, and there's a roof on it and everything in many of the cities that we enjoyed to visit in the Middle East. And you picture the elders meeting in that gate and discussing important matters and so forth, talking about the enemies of the city. So what this scripture really means is that when your kids grow up, when your children grow up, they're going to know how to speak wisdom concerning the enemies. And it is always a blessing to see your children growing up in Jesus and knowing how to rebuke Satan in Jesus' name. Knowing that they're putting on the full armor of God with you in the morning. And knowing that they know that the real enemy is the devil. And that he can be actually defeated through faith in Christ. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so in the context then, children, nation, house, the things that God wants to build in our lives. It's vain to really rise up earlier, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows and worrying. But we need to just let God and His wisdom build the thing. Because without Him, we can do nothing. And so we look to Him and we trust in Him. What time I am afraid, and I want to be afraid sometimes at night and eat the bread of sorrows, I need to fully trust in Him. I will trust in thee. I will trust in thee is the end of that verse. And so thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Good exhortation about the building of the house, coming through the wisdom of God and looking to God to build that house. Now we also want to look at a New Testament scripture on this same subject, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. So let's go to Matthew 7, 24. This is the Sermon on the Mount, the last part of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 24. And Jesus says this, says, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, we want to be a doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. So in hearing the sayings of Jesus Christ and doing them. It goes ahead and Jesus says, I will liken him unto a wise man. So enter now the wise man, the man that has wisdom, which built his house upon a rock. And there we see that wisdom comes from God. The rock is Jesus Christ. That rock was Christ in the Old Testament that brought forth the water in the wilderness. And so we can be wise men that build our house upon the rock, the strength of the Lord. As we accept his building, his wisdom in building our house. And you see, when the rains descend, verse 25, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. It's so true about foundations. and just in the physical world. If you have a cement slab underneath your house and you're built on rock, a rock foundation in wherever you are, it's going to be better for an earthquake. Sherry and I discovered this fully. Our house in the desert is built on a mesa, on a rock foundation. We had a 7.4 earthquake eight miles away from us, and Landers was the epicenter, and houses actually fell into the sand in the desert. But we only had one damage, and that was one filament and one light bulb broke when the lamp fell over, because we're built upon the rock. The same was true in the Mexico earthquake. In Mexico City, they were built upon a firm foundation there and didn't have the damage that was expected from such a large earthquake in Mexico, but in the outlying areas, rather. And so this is true in the natural, but also true in building our house upon Jesus Christ. The trials will come. They will come. Fierce trials will come. But you know what? If your house is built upon the rock, if God is building your house, it will stand firm. You know, this week, thinking about a lot of trials that have happened in different families in our church and in our own lives, and just thinking, Lord, I know that you've taught us again and again, and I'm okay with it, Lord, that I'm just going to get better through trials. Tribulation works patience, and I got to get patient. And I understand that. But do you feel bad about it, Lord, that I have to go through trials? I just wanted to ask the Lord that question. And it was really kind of a dumb question, and he answered it pretty quick. I said, do you ever say, Lord, like my dad used to say, this hurts me more than it does you? And right away, my heart was filled, and the Spirit of God rushed in to remind me of Jesus Christ on the cross. Does it hurt me more than it does you? Is anybody ever going to be asked to face the death that he faced? The broken heart that he faced? The time of feeling that the Father had forsaken him? Is that ever going to happen to me? No. He went way more into the hurt and the depth of hurt for me, because there was no other way. Jesus sweat the great drops of blood. We have not yet resisted sin unto blood like he did. He sweat those great drops of blood in the prayer, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. And so, yes, it does hurt him, and did hurt him more than it does us. There's no other way to change our sinful natures and to get us on the right track except through the trials that come. But we will come out standing if our house is built upon the rock. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For this we are so thankful. And our nation has been through many trials. And our houses and our persons, we go through many trials. But we are thankful to God. On October 3rd, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln issued a formal proclamation passed by an act of Congress. Just let that settle in your heart. Passed by an act of Congress. A very unique experience, an act of Congress. Pass, that was a jab, and I'm sorry. Passed by an act of Congress, initiating the first annual National Day of Thanksgiving. Now, there had been days of Thanksgiving a lot of times before President Lincoln made it a national experience every year. The first Thanksgiving, of course, was the Pilgrims, when they landed in Plymouth and they settled. And they were so thankful to God for making it through the first winter. They had a huge Thanksgiving feast. And the Indians came. The Native Americans and the Pilgrims were friends. And they got together in a great feast. And the Indians actually taught the Europeans that came how to make popcorn. Did you know there was never a popcorn in a theater in Europe? It's before the Europeans came over here and found out how to make it from the Indians. Isn't that neat? And so every time you go to the show and get some popcorn, you can thank the Native Americans because they taught us how to do that. And that is a blessing. But let me go ahead and read this proclamation. It is so encouraging. No human counsel has devised, nor has any mortal hand worked out these great things, the great things of our nation as we began to grow and to be blessed of God. President Lincoln knew that no mortal hand has worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States and those who are sojourning in foreign lands to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. It is announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. Let's say that together. God is the Lord, okay? God is the Lord. Now it also says in 1 Corinthians, it tells us that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Lord or says Jesus is the Lord has to do it by the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's 1 Corinthians. That's my next scripture. Anyway, in the Bible, it says that no one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Let's say it three times. Jesus is Lord. More gusto. Jesus is Lord. One more time. Jesus is Lord. Now, if you felt your spirit rising up and calling God blessed through saying that, you know what? You're a Christian, no doubt. Because you can't do that except by the Holy Spirit of God in you. Jesus is Lord. Well, our dear President Lincoln sure enough was. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. That's the way it ought to be. And so he started the first or the last Thursday of November to be a day of thanksgiving, and we still do it. I would like to encourage you at your Thanksgiving dinner this year to bring God into it. It's always great to eat the turkey. Can't wait for the pumpkin pie. I like it with vanilla ice cream on top. Oh, yeah. Cool Whip's okay. But you put the Cool Whip on top of the vanilla ice cream, then you're good. That's always wonderful and a blessing. And, of course, the great feast that the pilgrims had with the Indians and the popcorn flowing. But the thing is this. It's for the Lord. It's to praise and give thanks to the one, the risen Son. And so I want to encourage you, and no matter what the crowd is like, that you would be bold enough to say, you know, let's give some thanks to God. And you know, it's fun sometimes, and this is really fun for people of all sex and whatever, you know. Just say, hey, why don't we go around the table and everybody say what they're thankful for this year. Be brief. The turkey will get cold. But you just go around and let everyone just share. Now, that is a tremendous experience. But you see, God is glorified in that. God is glorified in the simplest ways. And he is so thankful, the Lord, to just be acknowledged and recognized because it is his hand of goodness that builds the house. It's his wisdom where a house or a country is built and thrives. And so there we have it. Now let's go back to Proverbs 24 and look at the next idea. Now Proverbs 24 and verse 3, the second term is in verse 3 also. It says, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. And as I've quoted to you before, 1 Peter 5:10 says, that the Lord establishes, strengthens, and settles you as a Christian. And actually through hard times you suffer, you will be established settled and strengthened. Now, by understanding, the house is established and goes on in the Lord. So understanding comes out from the Lord. I'd like to turn with you to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Now, Jeremiah is just a few books past Proverbs. So keep your hand in Proverbs 24. We'll be back. And just go on over to Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is right past Isaiah. As you're flipping through your Bible, just a few pages, you'll find Isaiah. And then Isaiah lasts forever. It's a long book, and 66 chapters. And you get to Jeremiah, and you go to chapter 9, and we look at verse 23. Now it says this, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. There's people that are born with unbelievable IQs, really smart people. And they end up in the major colleges and so forth. They just really are intelligent. And but you see that wise man is not to glory in his wisdom, to have an intellectual pride. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. We can't... have the guys at Muscle Beach in Venice, glorying in their big muscles. And I made a muscle one time for my granddaughter, and she said, Poppy, it's hanging down the other way. Oh, that was a terrible moment. But I'm learning to live with it. But let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. And that's because somebody's got a lot of money. He doesn't have any right to strut. Just, that rich man strut, No. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glories glory in this. Verse 24. That he understands. A house is established through understanding. That he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. And so, actually glorying in the fact that I know the Lord, and I glory in the cross, because that's how I can know the Lord, is through the cross. And the Apostle Paul actually said, if I'm going to glory, I want to glory in the Lord. And I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's just a marvelous thing that God has provided understanding, and that he has given us the ability to understand him and the things of him. We're actually blessed with having, as we are walking in the Spirit, a spiritual man or woman that's accepted Christ in their hearts, walking in the Spirit, as we're told, and here's my 1 Corinthians scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, the mind of Christ. You can actually have the mind of Jesus Christ on any given decision, because you've simply asked him, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, and God will give it liberally. And I go to him, and I say, Lord, help me to understand. Lord, give me wisdom, and he will do it. He will give you his very mind on it, the mind of Christ. And so let a man glory in the fact that he knows and he understands me. Remember in Luke 24:45, it shares this about after the resurrection, that the Lord opened their understanding to understand scriptures. That's why we always pray before we study the Bible. Because without the Lord's Spirit, we can't understand the scriptures. But he brings the understanding. In the midst of all that, God reaches down to our homes and our houses by giving us a command through the Apostle Peter. And this is actually found in 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to understanding. Another translation, according to knowledge. Now, this is a pretty large request and command. Because, you see, the Lord knows it's understanding that will bring and establish your house, and your wife and you. And he actually, on purpose, made your wife real different than you. Yes, he did. Okay, let's see if I can get it right this time. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Correct. And that's a book about how different husbands and wives are. men and women. They did a study on 60 Minutes. Is that Channel 2? I forget. 60 Minutes. Put the electrodes on the man's head and on the woman's head. And they made orange spots light up when you could see with the brain when they were thinking. And they actually proved that men and women think on the opposite side of the brain. No wonder. The guys show up in the bars and they say, "My wife doesn't understand me. There's something wrong, but she won't tell me what it is. She just says to me, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you." How am I supposed to understand? Well, the thing is this. You got to be in touch with headquarters. Who made her? God. And I go to the Lord and I say, "Lord, could you please open my understanding to understand what my wife is saying? And tell me what it is she's thinking." And God will help you. You know what? One of the biggest tools to work on this is prayer. If you pray together out loud, what do you pray about? The most important thing on your heart. So the husband can eavesdrop on the prayer. "Let's pray, honey." And she'll start praying about the very thing that he's trying to guess. I know it's cheating, but you got to do what you got to do. And I think God designed it that way. Yeah. So we're in touch with headquarters and we're getting understanding, and the house is going to be established because God is bringing together two opposites to make a couple that stands back to back in battle. And the strengths of the wife on this side and the strength of the husband on that side, and you are covered from the attacks of the enemy in your house. So you got two strong. Isn't that good? I love that. Let's do that again. So good. So good to know about that. Well, I want to share something with you, a personal experience with a grandchild along these lines. One of my grandchild is having a hard time getting along with him. It's because we're both the same, from the same mold. And sometimes it's hard to get along with people who are just like you. And so in the formative years, I was always angry with him and just was grieving me. And I knew that there was something he didn't understand about me, something I don't understand about him. We just need to get together. Yeah. And so, when they're 10 years old, we take them on a trip, each grandchild on a special trip. And so that we were coming up on that trip, and I started praying a year before that trip happened. Each day with Sherry and I, we would pray, "Lord, bless this trip. Lord, open our understanding to one another. Help us to understand this grandchild and help him to be blessed mightily. And show us how to do devotions with him, Lord. What kind of devotions will work with this boy?" And you know, sometimes devotions don't work. You know, you sit down and then you say, "Let's everybody sing," and then you're just the one that's singing and everybody's going, you know, that kind of thing. What happens? It happens to everybody. But you just pray. And so we prayed, "Lord," and every day. And you know, the Lord gave us a special way to do it with this one boy. He loves it. You say, "Now we're going to read three Proverbs." And you know what? The first one, Nani's going to explain in her own words what that proverb means. And then the next one, you're going to explain. And that they got to listen. And they got to read. Because they got to explain. And it just worked wonderful with this boy. And you know, I can remember almost the exact moment when my understanding clicked. It was in the hotel room. And Sherry and I had to go out for a minute to get some pictures collected from the guy that was doing the pictures. That was back in the old days when they used to develop pictures. Anyway. So we had a little tiff over that, and we saw inside his little heart. And my heart just softened, and there was a clicking that went on, and an understanding that went on in that discussion. And you know, after that trip, something was different. And now this grandson is the one that actually calls me on the phone. none of my other grandchildren really call me on the phone. If they hear about this, they'll start calling. So that's probably good. But he calls me on the phone now. He says, Poppy, guess what happened to me? And just shares his heart with me. And I am so blessed. We have become so close. And it's just understanding, clicking in the relationship. And it comes through prayer. It comes through building your house on the solid rock. And then allowing God's understanding to seep into us how we need it, how we need it in our relationships. And so I praise God. St. Francis put it this way, we don't so much want to seek to be understood, but we want to seek to understand. To understand. I love that from St. Francis. Well, let's go back then to Proverbs and look at this last word, knowledge. And we'll go back and I want to read that verse. There's a couple of more verses in the same proverb that apply to this verse. So it says in verse 4, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. This is talking about your house. This is talking about your city. This is talking about your country. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Let's see it in a different way further down, verse 13 in the proverb. My son, eat thou honey, talking about the receiving of wisdom and knowledge. My son, eat thou honey because it is good. And the honeycomb, which is sweet to your taste. And there's another verse that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So we're tasting the Lord to taste wisdom, to taste knowledge. Because in verse 14 it says this, so shall knowledge of wisdom be unto your soul. When you have found it, then there shall be a reward. A reward, and I take you back up to that clause, precious and pleasant riches. A reward. And your expectation shall not be cut off. We expect that the Lord Jesus will return for us and take us to a kingdom of everlasting righteousness that fades not away. That is our expectation. And guess what? It's not going to be cut off. It's going to happen. One of these days, the sky will roll back and the Lord Jesus will be there upon the clouds to meet us in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, comfort one another with these words, the Bible says. Comfort one another with these words. And so, knowledge. Now, there's a scripture in Hosea that says, for lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed. There are some folks that are out there on the streets that have no clue. No clue at all. And it is sad to hear exposition coming from them. But you go, where do I begin? Where do I even start to try to bring the beauty of Jesus to them and that they would be established in the truth and grounded in love? It's a long road. Lest the Holy Spirit, unless, of course, the Holy Spirit is asked into a heart. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But you see, the knowledge of wisdom, the knowledge of the Lord, brings great reward, brings a precious and pleasant riches. Not speaking just of monetarily taking care of us, which he does. We seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and he'll add to us the things we need. And want, actually. If he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how much more will he freely give us all things? If it won't hurt you, he'll allow you to have that, whatever it is. But he regulates these things. And if it will hurt you and get you into the love of money, then he will withhold and bring a different direction. So with contentness, we look to him, and the reward and the precious and pleasant riches is a much bigger thing than monetary blessing. It's the blessing of the life of Christ being lived in and through us. It's the blessing of the grace and the peace that's added to us through the knowledge of God, which scripture we want to end with now. And so let's go ahead and turn to 2 Peter, last verse we're turning to today, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 2. Second Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 2. 2 Peter 1, 2. This is the pleasant and precious riches of the Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? Through the knowledge of God. This word knowledge. And of Jesus our Lord. So the Lord is letting us know that he's going to multiply grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Oh, that wonderful grace of God that gets us through, that causes us to be able to stand after a great battle. The grace of God. And, you know, I love Zerubbabel, who built the second temple. He was told by the Lord, it's not by might nor strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And you will bring forth this temple, this second temple that you're building, crying, grace, grace unto it. Meaning you've begun the work by the grace of God, and it's going to be finished by the grace of God. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Grace, grace. Grace be multiplied and peace. That peace that passes all understanding be multiplied to you, not just added, multiplied, which is exponential. 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 4 is 16. 16 times 16. I need a calculator. If you multiply 16 times 16, not just add it. Yeah, yeah. 32 is a nice guess, though. Anyway, the thing is, as you keep doing that, the number goes up real quick, real quick. And so the Lord is telling you here, he doesn't just add grace to your life or just add peace to your life, but he multiplies it. He multiplies it. How? Through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do you get this knowledge? How do you work on getting this knowledge? Let's go on. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. There it is again, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby, and here's the answer, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers. By what? By the great and precious promises, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, as we get into the word like we're doing today, and I have actually quoted to you, I'm just going to guess, at least 10 promises today, just scripture after scripture after scripture, promises, promises, promises. And I've shared with you many times before, one brother counted the promises in the Bible. He came out with 7,600 promises. And so as you're in the Word, and as you then develop a personal devotion in the Word, day by day, each morning, taking the Bible, don't wake up in the morning and let your problems pummel you. Go for the Bible next to your bed. Make sure it's by your bed before you get in it. And that you have a light there so you can see, and any kind of glasses or contacts. Well, you should have glasses and contacts, because contacts, I mean, early in the morning are kind of tough. But grab the glasses and get into it. And those great and precious promises will multiply to you grace and peace. Two great things that you really need to function. The grace of God for the day. The peace of God that it's going to work out. And so there it is. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. And so our house is built by the wisdom of the Lord. The understanding begins to flow down from his wisdom on how to function. And then the knowledge of the Lord filling the place with precious. And there's one other word there. And plenteous. Precious and... got to go back and just... gifts. Precious and... the other word. Nobody remembers this. I don't either, so I can't get on your case about that. But I'll think of something later. No. Yeah, precious and pleasant. Precious and pleasant riches. Glory to God. Let's pray together, and then we're going to sing. So, Father, we thank you so much for your plan. It is so clear. It is so clear. And, Lord, thank you that the Old Testament roars out the same thing that the New Testament does, because it's all one book with one author, even you. And so, Lord, we thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the understanding. Thank you for the knowledge that you bring. Thank you, Lord, that you touched Bezalel to build the tabernacle with these three things: wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. You anointed him, and Lord, you anoint us. Thank you so much for that, Father. And so, Lord, we are thankful. And Lord, we pray that that would just overflow into any meeting or thing that comes on Thursday, Lord, to really glorify your name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Prayer room's open for you. May the Lord bless you, give you a great day, and may you just continue to just be built up by Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.